This evening we want to begin the series entitled The False World Church. We're going to be teaching the series entitled The False World Church. The pastors asked me to do this some time ago, and I appreciate much the opportunity to be able to do so. Before that we begin dealing with Revelation chapter 17, there are some things that we want to say by way of introduction concerning the book of the Revelation. And I believe that this will help each listener to understand the setting of what we find here in chapter 17. I believe this will be of help. The first thing I want to say is that the book of the Revelation has been referred to as the Daniel of the New Testament. There is very many similarities and comparisons between the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation. But there is a difference. In Daniel chapter 12 and in verse number 4, the Word of God says this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." Notice this carefully. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." That's what was told Daniel. Now, if you'll turn your Bible a few pages to Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation 22 and verse number 10, I want you to notice this verse. "And he saith unto me," here we find John speaking, "and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." We notice by reading these two verses that there is a difference between the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation. I want to point out tonight that the book of the Revelation is not a sealed book. Or in other words, it is not a closed book. It is a book, I believe, that God's people can understand. I believe that. I believe the book of the Revelation is an open book for four reasons. And I want to give these to you this evening. Number one, in the book of the Revelation, seven things are opened. Now, seven in the Word of God is a numerical number for completeness and perfection. Completeness and perfection. In this book of the Bible, the life book of the Bible, we have seven things opened. This tells me that this is an opened book. In Revelation chapter 4, we have a door. A door is opened in heaven. The seals are opened in chapters 6 through 8. The bottomless pit is opened in chapter 9. The temple of God is opened in chapter 11. The tabernacle of testimony is opened in chapter 15. Heaven is opened in chapter 19. And the books of judgment are opened in Revelation chapter 20. This is the first reason I believe that this is an opened book. Amen. The second reason I believe this is because this book consists of 22 chapters. 22 in the Word of God is a numerical number for light. For light. If you remember, as you read the Old Testament scriptures and study the tabernacle had in it a candlestick. And if you study that candlestick, you'll find that there were 22 bowls. 22. 22 bowls that held the oil that produced the light. All through the scriptures, 22 is a numerical number for light. In the book of Acts, as you read through the book of Acts, if you'll notice very carefully, the 22nd time, I say the 22nd time, the name Saul is found in that book. Saul is telling about the light that he saw as he was on the road to Damascus. 22 in the Word of God is the numerical number for light. And in these 22 chapters, we have God-given light. Most certainly we do. These 22 chapters are a reminder, reminding us that all we need to know, all we need to know about the second coming, or all the things of the Lord, are found in the Word of God. In John chapter number 16, and in verses 12 and 13, the Lord Jesus, speaking to His disciples, said this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I thank God He knows what I can bear and what I can't bear.
Right.
And I believe that He knows what you can bear and what you can't bear. And the same God that molded our backs is the same God that molds the load He allows to be placed on our backs. In verse number 13, the Lord Jesus said, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And I will emphasize that word all tonight. The Lord Jesus said, He shall guide you into all truth. And I think here, the Lord Jesus is telling us that if we are to learn, or let me say, put it this way, we must turn to the Word of God if we are to learn all, A-double-L,
right.
All that God has been pleased to reveal concerning the second coming or any subject. We must turn to the Word of God to learn all. And I might say that there is no need today for any additional revelation. Every once in a while today, you hear somebody talking about a vision that they have seen or a voice that they have heard. But my friend, and they're talking at the same time about a revelation that the Lord has given them. A new revelation. Additional revelation. Anytime you hear someone tell you that the Lord has given you a new, given them a new revelation, you might as well back off from them. You might as well stay away from them. That reminds me of some years ago of a man while he was flying over the Holy Land. He said while he was flying over the Holy Land in an airplane, the Lord told him the date of His second coming. That man is a liar. I know that because of the Word of God. We do not need any additional revelation today. When John cried amen on the Isle of Patmos, that finished God's final, perfect, complete revelation. Now there is a difference between revelation and illumination. What we need today is illumination on the revelation that God has already given to us. That's what we need. So I believe that these 22 chapters, 22, tells us that the book of the Revelation is an open book that we can understand. Number three, I want you to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, and verse number 3, I want to read this verse. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. And before I go any further, I might say this. There's no other book in the Bible that begins and ends like this book. It commences with a blessing and it concludes with a blessing. You'll find it here in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse number 3, and you'll find it in Revelation 22 verse 7. For God speaks about a blessing. Notice here, and I might say that there are 70 attitudes in this book, and here's the first one. The word blessed is used 7 times throughout this book. Now notice,
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. I might say this, we're here. Paul here talks about the reader being in the singular. He says, blessed is he that readeth, and they, plural, that hear. You see, my friend, not everyone can read. But you don't have to be able to read to get a blessing from God.
Amen.
All you have to do is hear and keep those things which are written in this book. But notice here, he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. How could the all-knowing God make such a promise if the readers and hearers could not understand what's in this book? If the readers and hearers could not understand what's in this book, God wouldn't make the promise. But he makes the promise because those that say that the grace of God can understand what's in this book. Number four, I believe the book of the Revelation is an open book because of its title. Its title. It's called the Revelation. The word Revelation means to unveil or reveal. It means that the curtain or veil is rolled aside. That's what it means. The word Revelation here tells us that in this book, we are showing things that's normally not seen. The word Revelation here tells us that it reveals to us what is behind the veil of the invisible. The invisible. The Lord here says that it's a revelation. Man calls it a riddle. God calls it a revelation. A revelation. This tells us this is an open book. And God's people can understand by the illumination of the Spirit of God those things which are written therein. I believe that. Now I know that some people here tonight may say, preacher, I don't see why you've wasted or I'm not wasting time, I know, but why that you took so much time talking about this particular matter? Well, I've run into quite a few fellows in my life in a short time that will absolutely not believe what I taught you here this evening, and they don't believe, and they act like you shouldn't even read this book.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. I've run into them. So we believe that this is an open book. Now, the book of the Revelation has a threefold division. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 19. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 19. Here in this particular verse, the Word of God says this, write the things. And I might say that John is told to write 12 times. The book of the Revelation. 12 in the Word of God is a numerical number for governmental perfection. And that's exactly what we see in this book. God governing and ruling everything perfect. Well, certainly that's so. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This verse tells us of the threefold division of this particular book. This verse tells us that this book deals with things in the past, things present, and things future. Well, certainly that's so. The first division has to do with the past. Here the Word of God says, write the things which thou hast seen. That has to do with the past. I believe that this has to do with Revelation chapter 1. John had just seen a vision of the risen, glorified Lord.
Yes.
A I believe that. Notice further. And the things which are. This has to do with the second division. This deals with things that are present. And the things which are. I believe this has to do with Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In these two chapters, we find seven letters addressed to seven churches. Right. Now, I'm going to remind you once again that seven in the Word of God is the numerical number for perfection and completeness. And these seven letters addressed to seven churches gives to us a complete picture, or the seven stages of the life of the church here upon this earth. Commencing with the early church and concluding with the rapture.
Right.
I believe that. Now let me say this right here. And this is something you have to take note of and remember. What I just said concerning the threefold division of this book, many people will oppose you at that point. They don't believe that. But I want to say this right here, and you should always remember it. Every chapter in the book of the Revelation begins with the word "and." Every chapter in this book begins with the word "and," except three chapters. Now, how many divisions did I say the book of the Revelation had?
Three.
There's only three chapters in this book that does not begin with the word "and." Only three. That's Revelation chapter number 1 that begins the first division of the book. It does not begin with the word "and." Revelation chapter 2 does not begin with the word "and." That begins the second division of this book. And then Revelation chapter 4 does not begin with the word "and." That chapter begins the third division of this book. Revelation 1:19, the Word of God says, "And the things which shall be hereafter." That has to do with the future. And that division of the book begins in chapter 4 and goes all the way through chapter 22. And I believe that the reason those three chapters does not begin like all the others is that God is telling us that this is the three chapters that begin the three divisions.
Right.
I believe that. The rapture takes place in the opening verses of Revelation chapter number 4. Now, the tribulation period begins in Revelation chapter number 6, and it ends in Revelation chapter 19. And I might say this. In Revelation chapter 6, the Lord Jesus is seen as the Lamb. The Lamb. In Revelation chapter 19, the Lord Jesus is seen as a lion. A lion. The tribulation begins with the lamb and it ends with the lion. Have you ever heard somebody talk about the month of March and said that it came in like a lamb, and it went out like a lion? Well, that's what you have right here. In the opening and closing chapters that deal with the tribulation period in the book of the Revelation. There's 22 chapters in this book, 14 chapters. Chapters 6 through 19, 14 chapters deal with this 7-year period referred to in the Word of God as Daniel's 70th week or the tribulation period. The tribulation period. Now I've read to you tonight from Revelation chapter 17. I just said a moment ago that the tribulation period
begins in chapter 6 and ends in chapter 19. So if we deal with something in chapter 17, that tells us that this is something that's going to take place during the tribulation period. And most certainly that is so. We believe that the Word of God declares that the rapture of the saints of God is the next event on God's prophetic calendar.
Amen.
Following the removal of the saints of God, Daniel's 70th week will begin. And it is at this time that the Antichrist will be revealed. It is at this time that the Antichrist will be revealed. Now listen to me. The devil is an imitator, not an innovator. He is an imitator, or in other words, a counterfeiter. The devil is a counterfeiter, and the Antichrist will be the devil's counterfeit Christ. He will be the devil's counterfeit Christ. The Antichrist will counterfeit the true Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in at least 22 different ways. 22 different ways he'll counterfeit Jesus Christ. Now, some while ago, we wrote a book, and it's a rather large book, I guess 250 to 300 pages. And I entitled that book, The Counterfeit Christ, The World Church, and Roman Catholicism. And I've sent that all over this country to well-known publishers. And I can't get any of them to publish it. They just won't touch it. Now I know why not. And I wasn't born yesterday. In that book, I deal with the 22 ways in which the Antichrist will counterfeit Jesus Christ. And in that book, I deal with the false world church as it's set forth right here in Revelation 17. And I know that it's because of that, because I deal with that chapter like I do, that they won't touch it. I know that. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God is associated with the true church, the Antichrist is going to be associated with a church. But instead of being the true church, it's going to be the false world church that's set forth right here. Right here in Revelation chapter 17. Now during this series, I'm going to deal with the false world church as it's set forth in this passage in the Word of God. We are seeing this in the very making today.
Amen.
We're seeing this thing in the very making today. But it will not come into full power until after the rapture of the saints of God.
Amen.
How far the Lord will allow it to advance before he takes his true church out of here, I don't know. But I know before this false church comes into full power, you and I will be in the glory.
Amen.
With the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, certainly this is so. Now, to begin tonight, I want to first say that there are four women mentioned in the book of the Revelation. Four women. First, there is a woman by the name of Jezebel in chapter 2 and in verse number 20. Second, there is Israel spoken of
evil is spoken of in Revelation chapter 12 in verse number 1. There you'll find evil presented as a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and so on. You can read it. That refers to Israel. The third woman mentioned in the book of Revelation is right here in chapter 17. This harlot woman. And we'll identify her later. Then there's a fourth woman that's spoken of in this book. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 7, the bride of Christ, which is the New Testament church, is spoken of. The church of a living God, made up of only those that's been saved by the grace of God and baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. So we find four women mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, at this time, I want to direct your attention to two symbols that is used in the Word of God to represent the true church. Two symbols. Number one, there's the symbol of a woman. A woman. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 2, the Word of God says this: "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." A chaste virgin, a bride, a wife, all are speaking of a woman. The true church is represented in the Word of God by the symbol of a woman. You can read Revelation 19, and you'll find the same thing. The second symbol that I want to direct your attention to tonight is the symbol of a city. A city. Notice your Bible in Revelation chapter 21 and verses 9 and 10. Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says this: "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Here we find the true church, the bride of Christ, represented in the Word of God by the symbol of a city. A city. Now, I said that to say this. Right here in Revelation chapter 17, we have both of those symbols mentioned or used. Notice first the symbol of a woman. Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 3. Notice the Bible. Revelation 17 and verse number 3. The Word of God says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman. There it is. Now notice. The symbol of a city is also used in this passage of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 17 and in verse number 18. Notice your Bible carefully. "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." That it is. Both of these symbols are used right here in this chapter. The one being presented in this way tells me that she is one pretending to be the true church. Here we have one pretending to be the true church, but is in reality the false world church, the devil's counterfeit.
Right.
And a counterfeit he is. I want to give you four comparisons or similarities. Just very briefly. Number one, the true church is presented as a woman. The false church is presented as a woman. Revelation 17:3. Number two, the true church is presented as a city. The false church is presented as a city. Revelation 17:18. Number three, the word mystery is used in Ephesians 3 in connection with the true church. Now you want to study Ephesians 3 in connection with the true church. Paul deals with the church in that passage of Scripture, and the word mystery is used three times. Three times in that passage while Paul deals with the church of the living God. The word mystery is used in connection with the true church. The word mystery is used in connection with the false church. Here in Revelation 17, notice your Bible in verse number 5. Where God says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, and so on. There in that verse, you have the word mystery. Notice verse number 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. There it is again. Not only that, but number four, the word great is used in Ephesians 5 in connection with the true church. The true church. Now I'll turn over there and read that verse. In Ephesians 5, the word of God says in verse number 30, For we, that's those which have been saved by the grace of God, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And right here I want to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ left His Father in heaven. He left His mother at the cross. At the cross. So that he could one day have a bride. And that's what Paul is speaking of in this passage of Scripture. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He left his father in heaven, he left his mother at the cross, so that he could have a bride. The church. Notice verse number 32. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we find that there are also comparisons and similarities set forth in the Word of God between the true church and the false church, as is presented here in Revelation 17. I wanted tonight to deal with the contrast. This false church is a counterfeit. But although she is a counterfeit, there are some contrast between the true church and the false church. Matter of fact, I have 8 down here, and I don't have time to give those to you tonight, so we'll begin next Sunday evening with the contrast between the true church and the false church that's spoken of here in Revelation chapter 17. I'd like to have each head to be bowed and each eye closed once again, please.